I am persuaded that we are being downloaded together with truth. Alicia is our evidence. Alicia is sleepwalking, like most of us. We're sort of half asleep, but we're walking. And she's sleepwalking and says, I gotta go tell him. But what is that program in Alicia? There's a program working in her of God. And every one of you are part of that. Every one of you has that program operating. I wanted to, so we're free, right? You're free to participate. You're free, if you want to choose it that way, you're free to do what you want to do. That's true. But there's a greater freedom. You're free to participate in something more than yourself. You're free to participate, free to participate in a greater program. And Alicia has that program that's working in her as evidence to me that there is an operating program, Derek, that brought you back. It isn't just that you'll be happier, you will be happier. But you're part of an operating program of God that wants to come through you, and only you will be able to find it. Isn't that a beautiful time? There's never been a day like this.
Amen.
There's never been. Doesn't mean that there aren't appointed functions among us. Yeah. There's election. There's an appointment of position and placing among us that God does. But you're not responsible to advertise your position. God, if your position, God will advertise for you. Is that right? Yeah. It's a beautifully, it's better than organization. You know, for instance, how does the baby know how to begin? I think, what's the first thing that forms when a baby begins to take shape in the womb? What's the first organ?
The heart.
The heart begins to form first. Where does the little unborn baby know how to create the heart first? It's in the program of the DNA. There is a program in you bigger than your conscious mind, more than what you know, more than what you understand, more than what you can usually even get into consciously, that's wanting to operate and is operating in you all the time, coaxing you and leading you towards fulfillment and being. And that's why Elisha heard, listen to the voice of God. You got to listen to the voice of God within. Because the voice of God is the key to unlock those codons in you, those programs in you. There's ways to assist it. I think, I don't want to invalidate that there are systems, there's crystals, there's all kinds of wonderful gadgetry that's available. And I'm not saying it won't help, but the most important part for unfolding the mystery in you is a program that was instituted from before time to assist you. Call it a fish ladder on Sunday. On Wednesday, I want to say something about it today. You know how the salmon spawn are born like little, the mother salmon lays her eggs, and the father salmon comes and spreads the seed on top of those eggs, and they're in the water. They hatch thousands of them. Then they all begin together. Those two salmon, mom and dad salmon, create a whole bunch of little tiny salmon that start their way down the river. They start their journey to begin to form being and life and experience. So they go down that river. All they have to do is follow the water. No problems. Just go where the water goes. Take where the flow. Let it take me. And it takes you down into the great ocean underneath the icebergs where the algae are, where the green stuff grows that the salmon feed up all their lives. 5 years, I don't know how long it takes to mature a salmon. Well, when the salmon begins to mature and get old enough, there's an urge that's been programmed in there. An urge comes. The urge comes to reproduce. The urge comes to burst. Who said it? It's in Eva's song. To burst forth. The urge comes and you begin to wonder, why am I here? Why did I come to the planet? Why do I even exist? What's the hope of my being? All that I've experienced isn't good enough for me to know myself. All that I see, all that I understand, there's got to be more. How many of you know that feeling? There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And we've seen it operating very particularly in Anna, as long as she's been with us. She came to be a part of us as far as she could see. You moved according to what you could see, what you hoped for. You've been in different places, you looked for it. But when you projected it, it didn't come to pass, did it? Didn't happen the way, but you were following the urge, the knowing that you should be here. And we've watched you come forth. Well, you're just a picture story for all of us.
Amen.
Hello? Encouraging, isn't it? Wonderful. Just look around. If you think that God's left us, forsaken us, we're just a scattered few on a hill. I know we're not. We're watching God awaken. So, I want to say a couple of things today about this program. That program that awakens in those salmon and that urges them back up the river. But, in the meantime, something's happened to the river. Somebody's been messing with the river. Anybody think that the river of human consciousness has been messed with?
Oh, yeah,
it's been messed with. We see plenty of evidence around it. And you go look in the Colorado River, they built a huge dam in that river called the Hoover Dam. What was the purpose? To create energy, all well-meaning. But what did it do to the salmon? It made it impossible to go back up the river. Right? So God created a bypass program. All right? So they made fish ladders around those dams, and they just go up gradually, enough for the fish to jump. Just jump. That's the kind of jump that the fish was meant to do in the river in the first place. And they can do this on this constructed fish ladder plans all the way back. It's in harmony with the intentional plan. It's a projected insertion into the planetary program to help bring about an eternal program that's from the beginning. It's redemptive. It's redemption. It's salvation. Salvation isn't to bring about something that isn't. Salvation brings about something that already is. A program from eternity. All right? So that's what I'm talking about. But the first thing to do is to know this, that when you hear a word or when you see a symbol, it creates a reaction in you out of your programmed awareness. Zach and I were talking about it. For instance, if I draw this, well, any number of, just a line, doesn't have much, right? It's just a line. But notice what happens. As soon as I stick just one more line with it, makes it two of them. What have we got now? Instead of just one little line, there's two little lines. So what's the difference between two little lines? There's twice as many, but there's still little lines. But whoa, there's a big jump goes on right now in your mind.
Create a symbol. Why?
It's become a symbol that you consciously know. Mm-hmm. You know this. Ever since you've been in grade school, you've seen this. Right? So, the names that we say, the words that we speak, the symbols we bring up have a reaction in us according to programmed information that's been recipient in you from a child on. And not just from a child on, but what you've inherited for all the time that man's been in the river of human consciousness. There's been a program built in man through which he interprets his reality. And you inherit that by the genes. You're not just created because the environment in your home or because you're born and have a drunk father that takes you to the bar with him and exhibits you for all kinds of people. Some of us had those kind of experiences, right? It isn't just programming in you that happened to you because of what happened to you as a child. You came in with programming. And there's programming in the world that you take on from the outside. Right? And that programming is speaking to you, and it's giving interpretation to symbols you see, and it may not be the truth at all. There's thoughts that come through your mind that come out of the collective mindset of this planet. They come soaring through your mind. They come drifting through there. You can do with them what you want. There are thoughts in you that you've created from your own experience in your lifetime. There are thoughts in you that your parents imbued and imputed to you. And you don't know the difference sometimes where it's all coming from. And then there are thoughts that God projects into your mind. And guess what? You got a privilege. And your privilege is to learn to know the difference. And sometimes the only way to learn to know the difference is to walk some of them out a little bit and to find out that some of them don't work. And some of them bring you a lot of pain. And they keep hitting you and you keep bumping your nose long enough, hard enough until you stop and say, well, God, was that thought really from you? And sometimes God speaks loud by what he doesn't say.
Louder.
You get to own your journey. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, if you have a rebellious spirit in you, and all of us inherit a rebellious spirit, because you need the rebelliousness of your being to propel you into greater glory. See, you can't, there's nobody exempt here about having some rebellion in you. You need it. It's what you do with it that counts. Now that rebelliousness in you, it takes you on a path and makes you bump your nose hard along. And some of us are really, really good at it. We can really bump our nose for a long time until finally we say down and say, well, God, what in the world is this always worked for me like this? And then Jesus, when you're ready for it, he won't do it till you're ready. He says, well, you got a rebellious spirit. Whoa, that's terrible. You don't love me if I got... No, I loved you. I knew you had it all the time. I was counting on it to do its work in you so that you could learn to choose. So you could learn your sovereignty. So you could learn your empowerment. So you could understand that being human is like being God. The privilege and the empowerment of choosing your being comes with being human. See? It's a great privilege to be human. It's a great privilege to be able to make mistakes. It's a great privilege to be able to do wrong, to misinterpret, to make wrong choices. Those are great privileges because it's only through the making of choices that you choose maturity, that you choose to live, that you choose to be. And the empowerment that you see in Deborah didn't come to her simply because she read some book. It came because she persisted and walked out her life. And she had a few people to help around her. Do that, you. Huh? What we say of one, we say of all. That's what we... Now, watch what happens when I do one more thing. Now I draw a circle around this. Well, yeah. No, that's not quite correct. But you know what it is. How is it incorrect? How is it, should it be? Is that it? What is it? Peace? It's a... Yeah. Peace. Nixon. Right? Peace Corps. I mean, look, from going from two little bars, simply putting it, whoa, makes this, enlarges this greatly, right? Well, if I can do that with three little lines, two straight ones in a circle, if I can take you on a whole journey of awareness by... Now here's here's 6,000 years of symbology here. This is not just something that happened in our generation, Greenpeace or a Y that you learned. Here's 6,000 years of symbology coming our way looking for interpretation, right? So let's look at that for a minute. Paul the Apostle said it this way, there is one name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. Now, you know what we've done with that religiously. You know what the church world has done with that. The church world has simply taken it and says, well, if you name the name of Jesus and confess your sin and allow him to come into your heart, you'll go to heaven when you die. And then to make it more appealing for you to do so, they sort of added on, that really didn't come from the Bible or from any spiritual teaching, to add on, but if you don't do it, there's a frying pan out there. That you never, I'm just going to make a little light of it here because it is a little strange that we could conceive that we've created. Now, every time you think that religion is bad and you think that religion has concocted this terrible scenario about frying forever and you think that how bad that religion is, think like this. Think that it's people like you and I. People like you and I that created that scenario out of human consciousness. And every time you blame religion for it, you're avoiding your responsibility in consciousness. But it's okay. I don't mind if you want to blame religion for a while. You got to blame somebody, just like a teenager. You say, well, my mom and my dad, they're just a little old-fashioned. Well, my mom and dad, well, you've done all that. I did it. They just don't understand. They're just a little bit out of tune. But then by the time you get 21, 20 years old, your parents just really grow up a lot. They get really smart. And especially when you get your own children. Now, whoa, then your parents really become heroes.
Overnight.
And we all go through that. It's just the path of life. We don't blame nobody for that. That's just joy. That's happiness. We live with that. We learn to live with it, right? And it's wonderful because we remember why we came here. Like Deborah says, I remembered why I came. I came here to unfold the program. I came for it to experience being. I came here to serve my Father in the light. I have a purpose. I have a plan. And then everything that happens to you all at once starts to bring you joy. I don't know how that works, but it works. Even a bum leg. You should see how this girl's been happy dragging this bum leg around with her. First she couldn't put any weight on and she hobbled around and we were loving on her, and now she's got this boot, she can hold it up, and she's just brought her joy. I can't believe it. She says, break another leg. No. No, let's not do that. No, it's joy. But life is joy. Right? Life is joy. All of life is joy. Joy, whatever it takes. And I tell you what, God will not tempt you above that you're able to bear. Here, I'm quoting a scripture. Amen. God will not tempt you. You know you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. You're going to have to go through things in order to grow. But trust me, I will not allow you, Beverly, to go through more than what you can bear. But everything that comes your way is for your awakening and for your becoming.
Amen.
So ultimately, it's not about thinking, trusting God he's going to be nice to you. That isn't about it.
No.
Yeah. Or trusting God he's going to be mean to you. That's a little strange, but some people really look for God to be mean. They want more meanness. I don't know why they want more meanness. They marry one man that beats them, and when he gets through beating her, they go find another one that beats them even more. We somehow we've got this psychological drama going on, thinking that if we get beaten enough, eventually God will love us. Who's creating that kind of thinking? It comes out of our own unconscious, not knowing. It comes out of our own fear. We're the ones creating that. And the sooner you recognize, the sooner you can let it go. Bye, bye, Buster. Out of my house, out of my life. I don't need you. Why is this always, maybe there should be some kind of role reversal here, but all right, so. From the beginning, there is a great eternal purpose of awakening going on. In the Father's heart, it was began, right? And so, last Wednesday, I want to reacquaint us with the name Jesus and with the name Yeshua. And I want to tell you, and I want to say this to every one of you here, and please don't take this in offense, but I tell you what, there's a truth coming, being downloaded in us that has not been understood by any of us here. Come on. There's something coming down the pike, something awakening in us that has not been seen. Just because you say, I know what that means, don't do that. You don't. I promise you, you don't know what this means. I don't know what this means. Yeah. And I think knowing Jesus, and immediately when you hear the term knowing Jesus, whoa, you get a backlash to your Baptist church. And you get to remember how the preacher said, well, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell. He says, God, I don't want to hear any of this. I've got a four-letter word here that I don't want to say. I don't want to hear any of this. I don't want to hear that. And you just cut it off, just like Carolyn was describing. You shut it down. You say, no, I don't want to hear this. You do it. It's an unconscious program in you, and you do it. You do it. And we're doing it right now to an extent. That's why I'm focusing on it. I don't want any part of a God that acts like that. You want to think that this has been going on for 2,000 years. I tell you what, it got so bad in the Middle Ages that the Pope sent a guy by the name of Tetzel. Tetzel was his name. And he would take his cart, his wooden drawn cart with his servants, around through Germany, and he made up a little rhyme that when your coin hits, they created a scenario that if you would put money in this box, then your loved ones who were in between in purgatory, and for all I know, there is a place like that. A place between worlds where you haven't made fully the decision if you're going to go all the way to hell or go to heaven. Right? And if your money hits that box, they took the worst of man's fears and make merchandise of it.
Yeah.
And they weren't even required to list the side effects. Now the law at least requires drug companies say, now this drug will take you to nirvana, to heaven. This is the most awesome drug. You need this. Now, it might give you heart palpitations and
damage your liver.
And if your temperature doesn't go down in 4 hours, you better see a doctor. Ah, well. But they're required to list. There was nobody required the Roman church to do anything like that.
No, they didn't.
They could sell their stuff freely with the Pope's authority. So am I blaming religion? No. That's in every one of us to do that. I did it myself. I used God. I didn't do it quite that way, but yeah. You ever be used by somebody?
Yeah.
Somebody that you loved and they love you, and then in order to gain favor with somebody else, they sort of traded you in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've done that to God.
Yeah.
I've done that. So, now the angel... Why do we need to know Jesus? Well, what I'm going to talk about just very briefly, it takes me a long time to get there today, but you need to know something about him in order to understand the unfolding program in this age of Aquarius that we're in right now. We're standing at the door of a dawning age. We are part of this unfolding greater truth that's coming on the planet. We're part of it right here in Old Filmzer, right on this hill, right. The awakening in Elisha is coming in. It's touching deep programming that she came into this world for. We are being awakened, and the key to that awakening is in this man that was named Yeshua. Now the reason it becomes difficult to access is because as soon as you see your name, all kinds of programming comes up on you. All right, so let me give you this definition. That's all I'm going to do today because I've taken up enough of your time. But I want to emphasize to you, that there is available for us, for our children, and for us, a connectedness with Jesus that men have not been able to experience until today. Let me say it again. And I'm so encouraged by Alicia's experience because I really didn't want to do this too much, but I want to awaken the program in us. And the only way to awaken is to recognize it's there, its availability, and I want to make the playing field a little bit level here by saying that every one of us need to do this, not just the children or the adults or the young adults. Every one of us need to review our programming and ask Spirit.
Amen.
Ask Spirit to awaken in us. So here's a definition I want to give for Jesus. First of all, his name is Yahshua. And if you read in the Gospels, according to Matthew and Luke, I think, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she would conceive in a special way and that the child that would be born of her would be great, and that his name would be called Yahshua, meaning YHVH is salvation. Now, YHVH is the oldest sacred name known to mankind. The oldest sacred name known to mankind. And I'll tell you what I think it, for me, what I think it means. But I would like you to ask. I would just like you to ask in your soul this sacred name that the Hebrews for thousands of years wouldn't even pronounce.
Yeah.
And when the priests would go to copy that name, Yod-Heh, they would copy the first letter from one manuscript to make a new manuscript, and they'd copy, you know, this maybe sounds like a rather religion, and maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. He took that first letter, Yod, and he'd copy it down, and he'd go, and he'd scrub himself down, wash himself up, because he didn't feel holy enough. And then he'd copy the H down. And it got so bad that nobody ever dared to pronounce the name because it was such a holy name. Well, it's so separate. They were, for their day, they were so separate from the light and from God that most of their adoration and their reverence came from fear and from separation, right? Well, it's like when you go into a Roman Catholic church, you can see, you feel the same thing. You see the beautiful glass stained windows and these wonderful symbols of all the saints and this gold and this silver, all to create a holiness, and but also telling you, oh, you're not good enough for this. That was the thinking. We're not good enough for God. No religion invented that. Religion just abused it. The thought that you're not good enough for God began in your own heart and soul, and you created it at the very beginning of your journey. It was your own fear. Religion just capitalizes on it. So does a lot of other things capitalize on it. Drug companies included. The fear, right? So the name given by the angel was Yahweh is salvation. Well then, again, what do we do with salvation? Yahweh is the fish ladder. Yahweh, in Yahashua, in Jesus, Yahweh becomes something that he hasn't been in anybody else in all of eternity, in all of time. He's becoming something in that one man, for the sake of all men, right, for a purpose. And this is my definition. Jesus is a holographic projection. Well, a holographic projection is in Star Wars, the first... They turn on this machine and who appears?
It's Princess Leia.
Princess who?
Leia.
Princess Leia appears and you can see right through her. But she's there. In three-dimensional projection, you can see his form. You can see all around her and see. So, Jesus is a holographic projection of something else. Now, it's a symbol. Jesus is a symbol.
He's also real.
Hmm?
He's also real.
Well, yeah, he's a real. He's got a reality to him. He's a person. You can talk to him. You can get friendly with him. He can communicate with you. You can see him in a vision. But he's a symbol. And Christianity hasn't known that. We haven't known that. He calls himself a door. I am the door. He calls himself a way. What kind of a door? A screen door? Aluminum door?
What?
A way in. Jesus is a way in. He's a screen. It's a holographic projection in human consciousness. Well, I thought he lived 2,000 years ago in Palestine. Yeah, he did. There was a man who walked around on 2 feet like you, who got tired and hungry, who had 12 disciples, who died on a cross. Yeah, he was real. He was a human being just like you are. He had all those experiences. But he was a projection in human consciousness. Human consciousness exists in one, and he's a projection in human consciousness and human awareness. Right? In order to be that, he had to become human. He had to take on form. He had to have hair. He had to walk around. He had to get angry and upset at the Pharisees. He had to cry, and he had to love, and he had to laugh, and he had to be everything that you've become. He had to totally identify with your human experience, become totally human like you, in order for him to be a holographic projection in human consciousness way beyond the few years that he walked the planet. Yeah. And if the purpose for his coming was to show the truth, he didn't get that from his own words. He says, I am the truth. The truth about what? And people get all caught up with that little phrase. He says, I am the truth. They say, Jesus somehow is all the truth. And they want to make him the eternal word, and they want to make him God forever, and they want to worship him. Because we so desperately want something to worship that's greater, because we think so objectively little of ourselves, right? But that wasn't the purpose. He came to show the truth of man. He came to show that this embodiment that Jeanette had been walking in for almost 54 years. Well, appearances, you know, that's how they look. Right? In order for you to know that there's a great and wonderful plan and purpose for being in a human body, that all the things that you can do, all the things you can feel, all the worlds that you can experience in your mind, all the movies you can watch in the worlds, just watch a few sci-fi movies and expand your mind. Go ahead, watch a few, get a little larger in your thinking. The truth, to show the truth of man, to show that we are more than an animal that came up out of the ocean and evolved and became a monkey and now walks. No, we're much more than that. We didn't come from the ocean. We didn't come from the earth. We came out of heaven.
Amen.
How do we know we came out of heaven? Because Jesus said, I am the Son of Man who came down from heaven. The reason he said it about himself wasn't so that you would worship him, because he came out of heaven so that you would believe on him, understanding that you too, like him, came out of heaven. You are an eternal being that came out of the light that took on a human body, and you are expressing the wisdom and the empowerment of eternal God in a physical body, just like you see about Jesus.
Amen.
How would you ever know that? You can't know it until somebody consciously knew it and came walking fully aware, realizing that he was the embodiment of God in human form. And he walked around and he says, look at me. I am what you are. We've looked at him and we've worshipped him because we don't want to become what we are. We are afraid to acknowledge who and what we are.
Amen.
Yep. We're afraid of our own shadows.
Amen.
And there never has been a man, nor will there ever be another man just like him, because only one man was necessary to show the truth.
Yeah.
Only one. And it's very clear from what Jesus himself said, that this holographic projection didn't come from an alien spaceship somewhere.
Right.
It didn't come out of some heaven, the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth heaven. It didn't come from some other constellation somewhere or some other reality world projected by some beings. But Jesus himself particularly said that he was sent of the Father. He wasn't a by program. He wasn't Plan B. He wasn't came here because Adam screwed up. No, he was sent of the Father, right? And as well as to show the truth concerning man and to reveal the Father's source. The self-existent light. When I use the term Father, I think of the self-existent light. I don't think about Yahweh. I think about the self-existent light. Because I've seen the self-existent light. Yeah. I had an experience where I saw the self-existent light and it communicated to me. I know about the self-existent light. And you can take it from me if you don't, you don't have to have my experience. Because you already have your own experience if you don't recognize it. But that self-existent light exists in everyone as you. Your sense of identity of self, your awareness to think about yourself as a person, comes from the self-existent light that's giving you the privilege of self-existence from him. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Now, the only thing is, Jesus came particularly to show this truth, but is going to take a collective body to do this. Jesus couldn't do that. Jesus couldn't fully reveal the Father because it takes a many-membered man to do that. It takes a full expression. The great purpose for humankind on this planet, one of them is for a body of people to reveal the Father. And I tell you what, I am so excited because we are discovering aspect of the self-existent light right here in Oldfield, Missouri on this little hill. When little Alicia have an experience, so when you get up here and dance together and love God together and you're willing to stand up and say, I love God. I just love God. I want to be everything I can be. You are beginning a program of revealing the Father of all light. It's never been initiated before. It's never been on this planet fully like it is in us. We're the privileged. We're the ones that are opening a door that's never been opened to mankind before. Why? Because we were chosen for that purpose, Garrett. We were chosen for this. We came for this. We asked for this. The Father, at the turn of the age, when Aquarius fades in and when Pisces fades out, there's going to need to be a people who are willing to bear the burden of what it takes to project into a greater realm of consciousness. A people who are willing to lay aside former programming. A people that are willing to deny their egos. A people that are willing to attribute to that which God has said, to walk away from family, to walk away from world situations, to walk away from wealth and from every other thing that attracts you in humankind, and to love God above it all. There's going to be need about you people, and I am one of those people. That's why I came on this planet. That's what I came to do. The age isn't going to turn by itself. It isn't just because the clock goes round and round and round. And because 2012 comes, doesn't do a D-A-M-N thing. A time doesn't do a thing. It's a body of people coming in a projected purpose in the moment of time. And all of time testifies to them. You're the clock of God. Clock of God isn't seen in an age or isn't seen on a clock. Isn't seen on any calendar, the Mayan calendar or Gregorian calendar or any calendar. You are the calendar of God that's came to make the change. Yes. So know that. Don't tell anybody else. Don't tell the world, but know it for yourself. And learn everything you can. Learn about the Gregorian calendar. Learn about the precession of the equinoxes. Learn about the Mayan calendar, about 2012, about crystals, about fractals, about divine geometry. Everywhere you find something, look for it and learn. But know that it's all talking about you, and know in the reality that you're greater than any and all of it. That the Christ that is in you, that you are, is greater than any expression that can come outside of you. If you'll know that truth, If you know that truth, and if you know that an ever-loving God wouldn't send you on a journey that He wouldn't empower you on.
Hallelujah.
Know that an ever-loving God,
yes.
Know that the ever-loving light wouldn't project you out of Himself and give you the privilege of existence,
wow.
Give you the privilege of knowing who you are, give you the privilege of empowerment. They would do none of that and not also empower you to become everything that you can be, and I want to know that myself.
Amen.
So God will give you a few experiences. He'll pull on your ear for a while. 70 days of it. Or He'll give you a heart that you just wish you didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Or give you a leg that just won't work right. Or whatever you got.
Yep.
Give you some. So you can find humility. And so you can know that God, you can know deep inside of you that God would never ask you to do anything that He wouldn't also give you the power to do it. God knows that. And then you can do anything. That's the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Can I tell my nonsense story?
Yeah, by all means. Thank you.
I think one of the greatest desires in my heart is to help people understand how spirit works. And if God ever gives me the opportunity to teach how spirit works and how to walk in what's happening to us, it would be the greatest honor and privilege to me. I was sitting in my house, in my chair, just trying to think of something to eat. I didn't have anything in the house. And all of a sudden I thought, that's like one of those little Totino pizzas, $1.25, jumped out of my chair, went to J&M grocery store, just grabbed my wallet and my keys. I never just do that. I always take a purse. But I had the strong impression to go to J&M and get my little pizza. Never took a buggy. I always take a buggy. Just went directly to the freezer part, got my pizza,